God's help, tonight I'll be preaching on this thought: a little maid with a big heart. A little maid with a big heart. Now let's begin to read the text tonight. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord as God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." Brother Tony Wilson, would you pray that God would speak through this message tonight? Yes. 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 Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Tonight you may be seated. The passage we just read is a great preaching text. I've heard many good messages preached from this passage. We read about the man Naaman. Now, Naaman was a great man. As we read here, he was a great military leader. The Bible said that he was a great man. The Bible says that he was an honorable man. But the Bible also says that he was a leper. And that was a serious thing. Of course, we know that leprosy is a terrible physical disease. But most importantly, leprosy represents and is a type of sin in the Bible. And we know by reading the story that God ultimately heals Naaman of his leprosy. and also of his sin. See, Naaman was a prideful man. And after he gets off of his pride, he's healed physically. Spiritually, there's some type of healing there. Because when you get to the verse number 14, and he does what he's supposed to, he gives God the glory. But now what I want us to look at is this. I want us to look at who I believe is the main character in this story tonight. Now, the main character, obviously, in any story of anything that's great that's done is God, right? But I'm talking about humanly speaking. I know God did the healing. I know God is the one that we give all the glory and praise for, no matter what happens in this church or outside of this church or in our lives. If something's great done, if something spiritually that's of any significance done, it's the Lord that did it. It's not us. He just uses us. But I want to look at what I believe to be the main character, humanly speaking, in this story tonight. And before I focus on who it is, I want you to understand who I don't think it is. I don't think it was his wife, who, even though she loved Naaman, and apparently has someone go in and tell Naaman about Elisha, I don't think it was her. I don't think it was the servants who reasoned with Naaman when he refused to do what Elisha, the prophet, told him to do. I don't even think it was Elisha, the man of God, who actually performed the miracle through God's strength, I understand. But it's the one that gave him the spiritual insight of what to do. I believe the main character of this story is the little maid. We find out that the little maid was a little Israelite lady. She was carried away captive from Israel, and now she was waiting on Naaman's wife. I believe she's the hero of the story. I believe she's the hero of the story because she's the one that got the ball rolling for Naaman to be healed. I believe we've got messed up thinking in our day and time. We've got it in our minds somehow or another that we think you got to be some big preacher with some big ministry doing some big thing to get something great done for God. But that's not true. All you need to get something big done for God is to have a few things that this little maid with a big heart had. And the idea I want to get across to you tonight in this message is, those people that are really getting things done for God, really making a difference, aren't necessarily the people that you think they are. And you don't have to have a great ministry and be a big-time preacher and have a big-time congregation. I'm telling you, behind all, if there really is a big ministry that's really getting something done for God, if there really is a big-sized church with a good pastor that's really getting souls saved and folks learning that book like they're supposed to, and if missionaries overseas are really getting thousands saved and people and things are happening for God, I'm telling you, all along there, behind the scenes of every one of those ministries, they are little maids that are being used by God, and they're instrumental in it getting done. And if they weren't around, I don't care what kind of good preacher you have. Folks talk about, well, we love Brother Denson. He's a good preacher. He'll tell you like it is. Come hear him. Well, I appreciate that. I ain't that great of a preacher. I do my best. But suppose I was some kind of great preacher. It wouldn't matter if I didn't have anybody to preach to. And the people wouldn't come if we didn't have anybody around here to keep the lights on and pay the bills to keep the lights on. And it wouldn't matter if anybody didn't turn the heat on and turn the cooling on. And it wouldn't matter if we didn't have somebody to fix the septic tank and things like that, and to get us adequate parking around here. What we try to realize is whoever's in the limelight. And if you read this story, all the focus would go on Elisha, the man of God. We got to go find Elisha. We got to get Elisha to do something. Oh, if you can just get to Elisha here. I'm telling you, way before Elisha ever does something, there's a little maid that's behind the scenes getting folks to the man of God. Getting people where they can get help. Doing something by prayer, thy concern. Do you know most of the people that I've been able to lead to the Lord and help in this church? I had absolutely nothing to do with getting them here to get them help. Some of you made the visit and got them here. Some of you wrote the card and got them here. Some of you picked them up in the car and invited them and got them here. And I'm telling you, we need to understand that if we can be like the little maid and just have a big heart for others and the things of God, we can do great things. I want to go over about three or four things tonight. This is not going to be a long message. I want to look at this little maid with a big heart. She was a little maid. She had a big heart. I want to look at four things she had. Number one, she had a big burden. She had a big burden. She wanted desperately for her master to be with Elisha. She knew he could heal him. That's what you read there in verse number 3. The Bible says, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Do you read the urgency in that? Do you read, listen, I'm not trying to put something in the Bible. I'm just saying when I read that, I don't know about you, but I read urgency. I read compassion. I read where a woman has concern about her master. I read where a woman loves her master. I read where this little maid, it looks like to me, she loved him and she cared about him and she wanted something done for him because he had this terrible, painful disease of leprosy. And it was going to kill him in a painful way if he didn't get healing from it. And when you read that, when she says, oh, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. And it has an exclamation point there. So you know she said it would fill him. For he would recover him of his leprosy. She has a burden. Would to God we could get some folks around here to have a burden for others. I tell you, a big burden to go a long way. You don't have to have all this money and talents and gifts and some kind of great thing about you where you have this great ability or great abilities to do something for God. Just get a big burden about folks and you'd be surprised what you could do. I wish we could get some little maids in this church that will say, brother, I don't preach. And brother, I don't teach. And brother, I don't sing. And I ain't much of a soul winner. But I've got a burden about people in my family and a burden about people in this community. And I may not ever preach or teach or sing or anything like that, but I can be like a little maid that is burdened about others and burdened about the things of God and get folks to where they can get some help. You don't need to have be some great gifted person or well-known Christian celebrity. I'm tired and sick and tired of that mess. You just need to be an average person with a great God that's got a burden. And I'm telling you what I want in this church? Oh, would I love to have a bunch of gifted speakers and be a better preacher? Absolutely. But I wish we had a 50-member choir and we all could sing 4-part harmony and about 15 or 20 people in here play different instruments. Oh, absolutely. But more than all that, you know what I want? Really, what I want in this church. He said, Brother Dennis, what do you want in this church? You know, just what do you want? Okay, I'm glad you asked. I'm not going to be greedy. Lord, oh Lord, not the whole church, not even half of it. Lord, just give me 50 people in this church. No talents. No nothing, but it's got a burden. I just want 50 people with a burden. Give me 50 little maids in this church, and we'll win Loango. We'll do great things for God. We'll get souls won if you just give me 50 people with a burden like she did, a big burden. Like the little maid. I think sometimes it's just like me. Folks, you don't realize what's going on behind the scenes. Many times we just see the outside thing. But we don't see what's really going on behind the scenes, how the little maids play a part of it. I think about my wife. You have no idea how she plays in my ministry. All you see is the finished product. I get up here and preach a sermon that she's typed, that she's helped me keep my appointments, showed me where I lost my tie at, prayed for me, took care of me, got things ready for me, and then I just come right up here in the pulpit and I preach, and it's all Brother Dennis. And you have no idea that Brother Dennis would have probably even not knew how to get here if it wasn't for my little maid. And when you hit the judgment seat of Christ, you may not know about the little maids here on earth, but God's going to make them known. And I really believe we're going to have a lot of little maids that step up and do a lot better at the judgment seat of Christ than these big Christian celebrity people. You understand that? She had a big burden. Number two, she had big courage. Big courage. She wasn't concerned if she was going to get in trouble for being presumptuous and coming out to her master and coming out and saying, or her master's wife was saying, I know what he needs to do. I know what will heal him. I know what can be done for this man. She wasn't worried about that. She was just full of zeal. And she took the initiative no matter what the consequences are. She was worried more about what happened to her master than what might happen to her. She had big courage. Boy, give us some little maids with big courage. You know, when we stand out there on the street and we preach and hold up the signs, that's nothing for the preacher to do that. If a preacher can't do that, I think he's pretty sorry. I mean, if a preacher ain't got enough guts to get out on the street and hold a scripture sign for the Lord Jesus Christ and take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, the only time he can be preached is when he's being paid in a church where nobody's going to fool with him. He ain't much of a man of God in my book. But I tell you what, something's when that preacher goes out there on that street and he holds that sign up, or he's out there preaching, thus saith the Lord, and he looks behind him and he's got a bunch of little maids with him. Women and men that they're going to get ridiculed for being out there. Their family's going to say stuff to them for being out there. They're not going to talk good about you about it on Facebook. They're going to rip you to shreds on Facebook. Your boss may give you trouble. Your neighbor may give you trouble. People are going to say you're a fanatic and you're stupid and you're crazy. And I'm just telling you, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to take notice of that courage. He's going to take, and if we could just have some people like the little maids that's got some courage about them. We've got a bunch of people that are just, they're gutless. They are gutless. They are scared to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are scared to take a stand for truth. They're scared about what people are going to say. They're scared about what people are going to do. Listen, teenagers, pay attention to me. If you are half as concerned about what God thinks about you as you are about what your peers and others think about you, you might get something done for God. But you're worried about what your peers and what your co-workers and what your neighbors and the people you work for say about you. And I'm telling you, what we need to do is raise up some youngins, and the youngins need to see it in the parents, people of great courage like this little maid that says, I don't care what they do to me. I don't care what happens to me. I've got a burden about these people. I love God more than I love myself, and I'm going to do what's right. She had a big burden. This little maid had big faith. Big faith. Notice what she said there in verse number 3. She said, we can just get them to the man of God. he would recover him of his leprosy. She believed it. She knew it. Had no doubt about it. She believed that he'd get healed. Believed God would do something. And that's good. You know, you got to believe. You got to believe. And I believe that a reason that a lot of people aren't doing anything for God is because their faith. They don't have the faith to do it. They don't believe God can really do anything. They don't believe, I'm going to waste all my time, all my money, all my talents, all this, all that, and God's not going to do it. We live in Laodicea. Ain't nobody getting saved hardly anymore. No, I done talked to them people. Listen, she believed. She was burdened for her master, and she had courage enough that, look, she believed in her heart that, hey, if I can just convince my master to go see the man of God, Elisha, God will heal him of his leprosy. That's the kind of faith she had. Oh, we have some little maids in here. If I can just get the gospel to them, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ will save them. If I can just get them to church, if I can just get them to meet my preacher or meet my youth pastor, if I can just get Brother Steve to go over there and talk with them, or if I can just make this visit in the hospital, I believe God's still saving people. I believe God's still doing something. She was a little maid and she had big faith. She believed. God, just give us some people that believe that you can still do it. And that you still will do it. And that's the problem. The problem is a lot of people just don't believe. Somehow, they don't have much faith. But this little maid had a big burden. She had big courage. She had big faith. But I'm going to tell you the most important thing she had. She had a big God. I don't care how little and unnoticed you are. You serve a big God. Now, I told you the little maid is the main character, in my opinion, humanly speaking, in this story. But you know who the main character is. It's God. It's God that supernaturally healed Naaman. And she had a big God. And I'm telling you that if you're saved, no matter how little you are, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. That Bible says, greater is he that is within me than he that's within the world. You can do something great for God as a little maid. Just a little maid, just having a big God. I just wish you could see. Listen, I really believe tonight that God's heart is tender toward people that are what I call behind the scene Christians. Not the people you see up and about every Sunday. Not the fella teaching your Sunday school class every Sunday. Not the preacher. Not the music minister. But the folks you may never see or may never notice. And there's a lot of times folks are doing stuff and you don't even notice it. I want to say this tonight. I had not planned to say it, but I'm going to say it. I know that Brother Ashley is not here tonight. He came this morning. But you know, Brother Ashley lives right down the road, and I stop and talk to him. This is how you never know what people are doing. One morning, real early, I don't know if I was coming back from hunting or was going to go hunting or whatever. But man, it was about 6 o'clock or whatever, and I saw Brother Ashley's truck here at the church. So I pulled in, and he was coming out from between these two buildings, pulling the garbage pail up. And I said, hey, Brother Ashley, what you doing, man? I said, you all right? I said, the dogs didn't get in the garbage, did they? Did you stop here and see that? He said, no. He said, just every Wednesday morning, I just try to get out here early. I ain't got nothing else to do and pull up that garbage. A lot of people think we got a magical garbage fairy that just does that. We don't. You know what that is? That's something that I didn't know about. And nobody else in this church know about. If I hadn't caught them doing it, I wouldn't have even known about it. You know what he is? He ain't seen. He ain't preaching. He ain't teaching. He ain't, you know. He ain't up here on the podium, on the stage. He's just a little maid getting up doing what he can. And you know what the problem is? Some of you sitting here tonight, you don't see how significant that is. The reason is you're trying to look at it through man's eyes. You've got to look at that thing through God's eyes. Through God's eyes, what Ashley does, I believe, is very significant. Nobody told him to do it. He didn't have to do it. And nobody was even knowing he was doing it. He just did it because it was something he felt like he could do and he wanted to do. And I'm glad we got a big God that he's so big. Listen, he's so big. He sees those little things that goes unnoticed by everybody else. That when it's done with the right heart and the right motive, in the right context, God says, I'm pleased with that. I'm pleased with it. You and God always make a majority. Always make a majority. And you have a big God if you're saved here tonight. And you can do great things with him. That old saying, we've heard it and said it for many years, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. I just wonder tonight, is there any little maid here? Maybe you're behind the scenes. Maybe in man's eyes you go unnoticed. Maybe you don't feel that important. Maybe you don't feel that you're a strong, viable part of this work for the Lord Jesus Christ in this church, in the body of Christ. I'm here to tell you, you are very wrong. I pray God tonight will give us some little maids. I pray he'd give us some people that seem not to be that important. Listen, and I'm getting ready to wrap this up tonight. I told you this wasn't going to be very long, but listen, I want you to think about this lady. She was nothing significant in this family. She was a servant. She was taken prisoner, taken out of her homeland. She wasn't royalty. She wasn't a big nothing. Yet she's instrumental in the big man, Naaman, getting help. You don't have to come from some kind of prominent family and be some kind of super Christian and like I said, have all these gifts and abilities and resources and be out there in the limelight. Just be a little maid with a big heart, okay? Ask God to give you a burden for him and for others. Ask God to give you a big burden. Ask God to give you big courage to step out and do what you can for him. Ask God to give you big faith to believe that God can and will use you and will do it. Ask God to do something and remember that you have a big God. A little maid with a big heart. My prayer is that God will give us some little maids. Every head bowed and eye closed tonight. Folks, we...